The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. What is today's date? So it's the last Sunday in the month of October. Glory to God. Are you excited about that? It means the year is coming to an end. I don't know whether that should excite you or that should worry you. Which one? Huh? Mixed feelings. Be encouraged. If there are visions to stay after this year, they will stay happen. That is, if you don't stop believing. Is that okay? If you don't stop pushing. As a matter of fact, the concept of years and months was decided by man. So you are the one that knows that this is about end. God is not aware. Oh, God is aware, but he didn't set it like that. We decided that the year will be 12 months. Are you what I'm talking about here now? So we decided. And it's okay. God will respond to you according to what you've decided. So you should be expecting that big things will still happen. How many of you believe what I just said now? The year will still end good. And still end big. God will still come through for you. Your answers will still come. Your supplies will still come. Closed doors will still be open. The big dreams in your heart will still be achieved. The visions will still come to pass. The vision is still possible. I said the vision is still possible. Are you what I'm talking about? Because you know the thing about God is he's never late. Never. If you think he's late, when he arrives, when the party starts. Are you what I'm talking about? He got to Lazarus' tomb four days late. But when he arrived, was early. Because he has never been late. He will never be late. Is someone following me this morning? He has never been late, he will never be late. So your answers are very close. And if you are still expecting, you must still need to rejoice. Because things will still get better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So no discouragement. No room for discouragement. I get the point. We are still dedicating properties. I will still dedicate many more this year. And yours will be there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I say yours will be there. Admissions will still come this year. And if you are trusting of an admission, this year you will get yours. Doors are still opening up. I get what I'm talking about. Difficult situations will still be fixed up this year. You will still end this year with a doctor's report that shows nothing is wrong with you. It doesn't matter what your health is looking like now, but that will be your story. I said, that will be your story. Your dream job is still coming this year. And I'm not wishing you well. I'm telling you what will happen by God's Spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about? So things will still happen. As a matter of fact, for me, the last 3 months of every year is always the best for me. Every year for me. I don't know why it happens like that. Amen. I kind of feel God reserved the best for the last. Yes, every year, the last year was always better for me. And these remaining two months, come on, watch out for me. Glory to God. You know, by next month, we enter Zoe season. And even before Zoe comes, we begin to receive the blessing of Zoe, the month of Zoe. I don't know if you believe what I'm talking about. It's just getting better and better and better. Do you want to shout a big amen this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Some say, I'm still expecting. Shout it, say, I'm still expecting. Preach that to three persons, but I said, I'm still expecting. Preach it to them. I am still expecting. Tell the person, God will still come through for me. My answers will still come. My answers will still come. Glory to God. What is this year for again, if you remember? Shandala Baranda Lagaramba de Legodandia. That whatever you say it is, let it be your. Glory to God. What are we enjoying this year? Supernatural leverages. And they will happen for you. Do you remember them? The leverage of God's favor. Do you remember that? Have you been enjoying favors this year? The leverage of mercy. Do you remember that? This is still a good year. And it will still end big. And let me tell you, trust God, between now and November, things will change. Because by the time we enter December, we begin to pray for 2025. Do you understand? So your year is coming to an end. But it should be an exciting news. Because things are getting better. Do you believe? Have your seat. I'm starting a series today. It's the end of the month. But I'm starting a series that will run till whenever it stops. Is that okay? And I've thought of what to title this. But I have a perfect title. Amen. So I'll just write it. I don't know why they moved this to this place. Can you see this? What's on the screen? Glory to God. Who knows what that word means? Huh? Yes, you're right. What does it do? Glory to God. James chapter 3. I titled this Ruder, the Power of the Tongue. Hallelujah. The Power of the Tongue. This service is going to change your life for real. Many of you change your life totally. James chapter 3. Are you there? I'm waiting for you. We're going to read it together. I'll wait for you a little. James chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. So you just follow me from your own Bible. Are we good? My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the sheep, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and had been tamed of mankind. Say, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. For the fountain sent forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. So you look at this. I'm looking at the power of the tongue. Ruda, this word is not supposed to be strange. Okay? It is a flat piece, that is hinged vertically near the stern of a boat or a ship for steering. It's just that small part of the ship used as steering for the ship. I get the point? Used as steering for the ship. And in fact, airplanes also have a rudder. A rudder, yes. The vertical aerofoil pivoted from the tailplane of an aircraft for controlling movement about the vertical axis. So it just controls movement. It's just like if you look at a car has a steering. Is that okay? And it's that steering that determines where the car goes to. If that steering turns to the right, the car goes to the right. If it turns to the left, the car goes to the left. And you might be wondering, why are we looking at this topic today? Why is it our topic? James chapter 3, from verse 1, if you have New Living Translation, you know, from verse 1, 2, and 3, then verse 4, we use that word ruler. Verse 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Verse 2, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we'll be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Verse 4, and a small rudder makes a good ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Then verse 5 now said, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing. So you notice he's trying to show us that the same way that small piece of iron can turn about. Have you seen a ship before? How have you watched Titanic? Right? You see how big Titanic is. You know how big a ship is. People literally live inside the ship. I mean, hundreds of people. And they can be there for days. Sometimes for months. It's a very massive object, if we call it that. But then all of that is controlled by a small rudder. Just small. It just, wherever it turns, it follows. Just like you look at, you know, the one that you can relate with very well. You look at all these long trailers. Right? All these long trailers. But then you look at that small steering just there. It's that small steering that dictates where the trailer goes. And the Bible is telling us that is how your tongue is. Many of you will find out that where you are today is a question of where you spoke yourself to. You are where you are today because of what you said yesterday. And I'm going to show you that throughout this series. You know what I'm saying? Your tongue, the same way the rudder controls the direction of the ship, your tongue controls the direction of your life. Your life travels in the direction of your tongue. So actually, the Bible is making it very clear that it is not your legs that will carry you to where you will go to. It is your tongue that carries you where you want to get to. Are you what I'm talking about? Because the route that, now, going by what I just told you, just like when you look at an airplane. Follow what I'm saying now. Look at an airplane or look at a trailer. If you look at the trailer, your mistake will be to think that it is the tires of the trailer that controls where it goes to. It's not true. The tires are just things that will take the trailer where it's going to. But the real thing that controls where that trailer is going to is the steering. That's how your body is. Most of us think it is your legs. No. It is your tongue that controls. It is where your tongue turns to that your legs eventually walk to. It's one thing I'm talking about this morning. It's where your tongue turns to that your legs will walk to. That's why it's so important this morning. Okay? That we look at these things. Because many of us will take corrections and many of us, our lives will reset totally. Are you expectant? Because the important we'll talk about to probably use your talk. But let me say this, which I will say come to much later. You see, one major sign of spiritual growth is that you've mastered how to use your tongue. A major sign of growth. Look at this, James 3. Look at verse 2. Start with King James. Use different translations. For in many things you offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And also able also to pray to the whole body. Give me New Living Translation. Read together with me. Are you ready? Let's go together. Indeed. Come on. You should put your voice to this. Listen. Never come to church and keep quiet. One of the things you bring to church every morning is a joyful spirit. I can tell you, one of the things you carry to church, every time you enter church, is a joyful spirit. It is a mark of spiritual immaturity to come into church and you're looking sad. There is no reason to be sad in church. There is no reason. Church is a place where you drop all your bitterness and bring in joy. Are you what I'm talking about? And one of the signs of a joyful spirit is that a joyful spirit talks. Depression stays quiet. Have you observed? People that are depressed, they don't say much. Just stay calm. Because somebody can say, well, me, I know I'm joyful in my heart. No, we don't know, sir. Depression is quiet. Joy is loud. So when we ask you to read, you read. When I ask you to shout amen, you shout amen. When we ask you to pray, you pray out. It's one sign that you are joyful. So let's go together. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we will be perfect and could control ourselves. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Let's go together. For we all stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. So it's so important. It's a major sign that you're growing spiritually. So you find out that spiritual growth is not only measured by many things we think. It's not just, you know, there was a teaching I did for you some time ago, if you remember, are we really growing? Do you remember that teaching? Am I really growing? This is one of the things you check. Because if you are someone who has a very loose tongue, it's a clear sign that you're not growing spiritually, no matter how long you're speaking in tongues. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a major sign. Amen. Message said that none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you would have a perfect person in perfect control of life. And so if you master the use of your tongue, you've already controlled how your life will be. So you find out there are actually no coincidences. Where the steering turns is where the whole car will move. Your tongue is the steering of your life. Where it turns to is where your entire body will go. So it's a major sign of spiritual growth. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Have you found it? Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Very powerful stuff. He said, the Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word is easy to him that is weary. He has given me the tongue, so there is such a thing as the tongue of the learned. How it appears actually in the Hebrew is a tongue of limud. Do you remember? That's the tongue of a disciple. Amplified Classic says, the servant of the law of God says, the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught. So there is such a thing as the tongue of a disciple. There is a way disciples talk. So we can actually tell if you've been discipled when we hear you talk. You see what I'm talking about? There is a tongue of a disciple. There is a way a disciple talks in the front of challenges. Face of challenges. There is a way a disciple talks when he's talking to someone. Look at this one. He said, he has given me talk of a disciple that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. So when someone is weary, someone is down, that's the way you talk. We can know whether you've been discipled or not. Let's give you an example with visiting someone that lost a loved one. There are things you say there, and we can tell that you've not been discipled. So that is the tongue of the learned. That is the tongue of the discipled man. So, one of the things discipleship works out in your life is that it shapes the use of your tongue. I got what I'm talking about this morning. One of the things discipleship works out in your life. Two people just lost their job. When you hear both of them talk in the face of that job loss, you can tell who has been discipled and who has not been discipled. Two people just lost someone. We hear both of them talk and tell who has been discipled, who is mature and who is not. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? So there is a way mature Christians talk. There's a way mature Christians talk. Two believers are having issues. When you hear them talk to themselves when they are angry, you can tell who has been discipled and who has not been discipled. That is the tongue of the learned. That's the tongue of the disciple. It's a disciplined tongue. It's a disciplined tongue. Who doesn't just say anything? Nigeria is bad. Jobs are not coming. This country is messed up. Our leaders are killing us. When you hear people talk that way, you can tell whether they've been discipled or not. Because the point about it is, whatever you're passing through in Nigeria, almost all of us have the same realities. Except you are part of people who are stealing the money. Are you know what I'm saying? If you're not part of the thieves, all of us have the same realities. At least in the physical. He said, but some people are rich. Well, everybody is spending more now. So it's the same realities for everybody. Now, when you hear people talk, you can tell whether they've been discipled by Jesus or whether they've missed their classes. The tongue of the learned. And so, your tongue is the rudder of your life. It's the control of your life. It's the steering of your life. And it's important we talk about this. There are three brothers I'm going to give you why you must learn how to use your tongue well. The first reason, of course, I'm going to say a lot of things under them. The first reason is because I'm already saying your tongue will affect your life in many ways than you know. In many ways than you will realize. I can begin to give you some examples. For instance, Mark 11 verse 23 tells us. Mark 11 23. Talking about the mountain. Jesus preaching. Are we there now? He said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. The first way your tongue affects your life, for instance, is that you will have what you say. Now that's one big reality of life. You will have what you say. If this thing I say can settle your heart, you will see why you are where you are today. You will have what you say. You will not have what you like or what you desire. You will have what you say. He said, he shall have whatsoever he say. So in any area of your life, it is what you say that you will have. And please, this is not some positive confession teaching. This is God's word being taught. Are you know what I'm saying? You shall have whatsoever you say. You shall have whatsoever you say. That's one major way your words affect your life. Your life today is the aggregate of all the things you said yesterday. Whether you agree or you don't agree. And where you'll be in the next 5 years is a function of what you are saying now. He said, he shall have whatsoever he said. So the first way your words affect your life is the fact that you have what you say. The second thing you must note about the words about your life is that God does what you say. Number one, I said you shall have what you say, but still trying to talk about the same thing. God does what you say. Are you know what I'm talking about? Are you following what I'm talking about now? In Numbers 14 and verse 28, God was speaking. He says, say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. As you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. God was telling the Israelites, I will do exactly what you said. And that's how life is. I will do exactly what you said. What I heard you say in my ear, I will do. I follow what I'm saying. Give me NLT of this verse. Please read, let's read together, everybody. NLT. Glory to God. Let's go together. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. So, you know, God does what you say. And the reason is simply because God is not a bully. He doesn't force himself on people. So God will not force, even good things, he won't force it on you. Think of salvation, for instance. God did not force and does not force salvation on anybody. He wants all men saved, quite all right. But then he won't force it on anybody. So he wants to know what you really want. And one of the ways you show what you really want is that you say it. That's why in salvation, how do people get saved? If they believe in their heart and speak with their mouth. So God will save the one that have spoken. So God does what you say. Are you following what I'm saying now? You know, another reason why your words affect your life again, related to this too, is because spirits do what you say. By spirits, I mean angels and demons. They do what you say. Are you know what I'm saying now? You know, I've thought about this a lot and a lot. Angels will do what you say. They will carry out what you say. In Psalm 103 and verse 20, the Bible tells us, bless the Lord, you his angels. Okay? who do his commands, hearkening to the voice of his words. So angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So when you give the word of God a voice, angels will carry it out. Turn that around. When you are speaking the opposite of the word of God, demons will carry it out. Because demons also are fallen angels who are taught to respond to words. You see what God I'm talking about here now? So when you're always saying, speaking defeat, demons will attend to that defeat you are speaking. When you're always speaking victory, angels are trained to respond to God's word. I get what I'm saying? In Daniel 10 verse 12, I've read that with you many, many times. The Bible tells us, the angel said to Daniel, I have come for your words. I have come for your words. Because angels respond to words. This is again why your words affect your life. I dare say to you that your words can put you in trouble. And your words can get you out of trouble. I mean any kind of trouble in this life. Your words can make you sick. Your words can make you poor. Your words can put you in trouble. Your words can complicate your life. Your words can take you back. It can take you front. Now, this is the truth. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Give it to me on the screen. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Your words? He said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Thou art snared, thou art taken. Are you following me, friends? So the words you speak can destroy your life. Oh, hallelujah. This teaching is so important. Because I'm trying to lay foundations. A lot of things I'm going to say from next week or from this Thursday, a lot of things. But I'm just trying to lay foundation, let you see that you don't just use your tongue carelessly. Give me Proverbs 18, verse 7. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. So people's mouth can be their destruction. Hallelujah. New Living Translation. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. They trap themselves with their lips. And so you are where you are. Your words can put you in trouble. You are possibly in that trouble you are in because of what you've been saying. And you will get out of that trouble through proper use of your tongue. Are you following me, friends? Through the proper use of your tongue. Proper use of your tongue. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Very powerful verse. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You live in translation. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Are you still here? Are you getting blessed? So if you know how to mount guard over your tongue, you actually prolong your life. So notice, people die young. Sometimes because of what they said. People get involved in accidents because of what they said. People eventually come to prosperity because of what they said. Amen. And again, I'm saying, I'm not talking about positive confession. That's why you have to attend this class to the last. It's not to leave here and start shouting, oh, my life is changing. Oh, it may not change. Now, it's not just about speaking empty words. There is a way to use your tongue properly. As a trained man. And I've already shown you again that your life determines the course of your life. You know, I've made that statement many, many times now. Amen? Your future is determined by your words. Your future is determined by your words. Your future is determined by your words. You're not yet married. The quality of your marriage in the future can be determined by the words you speak today. You're not yet in school. The quality of life you will live in school can be determined by the words you speak today. I know what I'm talking about. You've not graduated yet. The quality of life you will live after graduation can be determined by the things you are saying today. By the things you are saying today. That's why I can tell you for free. When I look at people, and hear them talk, I can tell you what will become of them. Are you following me? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. He said, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. He that will love life and see good days, he that will love life and see good days, must know how to use his tongue." So seeing good days is not sudden. You must learn how to use your tongue. There are things you don't lend your voice to. There are things you don't say. And there are things you must say. He that will love life and see good days. Are you getting what I'm saying? NLT said, "For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." Keep your tongue. Keep your tongue. Amplified Classic said, "For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile." So there are things you don't say if you actually want to see good days. Amen. Are you still here? That's not the same church I pastored last week. Are you still here? Glory to God. And I'm already showing your life can give you good days. For instance, your life can affect your prosperity. Do you understand? You see, that's why you can work hard and not succeed. Because, again, I tell you, it is not hard work that determines the course of your life. It's your tongue. So, as you're working hard, your life, your tongue will determine where you will go. Give me Proverbs 13 verse 2 on the screen. Your life will determine where you will go. Just like that big ship again. It is the rudder that determines where it travels to. It said, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth." A man shall eat good. Not by his hard work, by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. There are many of you that needs to be corrected in this series. Many of us are loose talkers. We are expecting one thing in our hearts. We are seeing another thing with our tongue. Say, "Now wow, this life, that one, that one." You are the one responsible for where you are today. And God has to correct you. You have to learn your lessons. I'm not just talking about your positive confession time where you come out and say, "Oh, I'm blessed." I'm talking about in your everyday conversation with people. In your everyday conversation with your friends. What do you say? "This exam now die. It will kill you, I'm telling you, if it is die." That's the problem. In our everyday conversation, what are we saying? So you come to prayer, you spend 1 hour in prayer, speaking, "God, my life is changing, I'm getting better." And then you spend the rest 23 hours speaking all the negative things. Which one do you think will work? Which do you think will work? Which one do you spend more time saying? Because you converse with your friends more than you pray, whether you like it or not. I know what I'm talking about here now. You just see all the crazy things that comes to your mind. In the name of being real, being woke. In the course of this series, I'm going to show you how the tongue affects even... Oh, don't worry, I'm coming to that. So, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. So, you can prosper and eat good by the things you say. Give me an NLT of this verse. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. New Living Translation. Wise words will bring you a good meal. My God. Wise words, you do what? Say wise words. We bring me a good meal. Glory to God. Give me another translation, Amplified Classic. A good man eats good from the fruit of his mouth. Message. From the fruit of his mouth. Message Bible. The good acquire a taste for helpful conversations. And so when you see a man that is good, one of the things you find out about him that he's succeeding, his conversations are not careless. He doesn't just say anything that comes to his mouth. Amen. Again, let me say something more. Still under this point, your words will affect your health. This one is one powerful truth that many of us need to come to life with or attempt with. Your words will affect your health. One of the major requirements for living a healthy life is minding what you say. Proverbs 18 verse 20. Give me on the screen. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. Glory to God. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So people die or live long by what they say. People die. I'm just telling you practically. So one of the major things, and I say this to people seriously now, sometimes some of you fall sick, or you are not yet sick, but you are saying, I'm not going to take drugs this year. I don't want to take drugs this year. Now, listen, it is not possible to not take drugs. Now, see where I'm going to with this. If you are not going to be taking medical drugs, there must be something else you are taking on a daily. If not, you will eventually take drugs. You are not going to take drugs this year, then you don't say nothing over your health. You just keep quiet, hoping that somehow you will not take drugs. Life is not coincidence. And you don't achieve anything by wishful thinking. I'm not going to take drugs this year. Now, what are you taking? Medical science will tell you that if you're not going to take drugs, you have to eat good food. Is that correct? You have to, sometimes they even ask you to take some supplements to stay healthy, to boost your immune system. Now, the Christian says, I want to stay without taking drugs. And he takes nothing throughout the year. Then he expects that somehow, he's just going to be fine. If you won't take drugs, we're taking the word. If you won't take drugs, we're taking the word. And how to take the word is to speak it. Because good health does not come suddenly. I get the point. Something must be fighting disease in your system. If it's not drugs, it should be the word of God. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? Something must be fighting those sick, because just like you're in Nigeria now, mosquito will bite you. Are you aware that mosquito will bite you? Huh? That's what we call female. You know it. It must be your friend. No, not he. It's a she. It's not amazing that it is women that give malaria. Because the male mosquitoes don't give malaria. Are you aware? They just come around here and sing and go. Men are good people. But if that female... So in Nigeria, female and ovulous mosquito will bite you. Well, there are more women than men on it. My God. Now, when that comes to you, you don't expect that it's going to bite you and you'll just be fine. It will happen suddenly, sir. That must be something you are taking that will neutralize the effects of that mosquito when it comes to you. It's not just that you decided not to take drugs. As some of you are sick, I ask you, have you gone and take drugs? Because you don't get well by just hoping. You are not doing nothing, and you just expect that suddenly your body is going to be fine. It doesn't work like that, sir. I get the point. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Give me an answer of this verse. Death and life. You live in translation? Hallelujah. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I get what I'm saying now. The tongue can bring death. The tongue can bring life. So the first point I'm making is your tongue affects your life. This is why you must use your tongue well. Amen. Number two, because your tongue affects your relationship with people. I won't say much about that. I'm coming to that later. Maybe next week. Your tongue affects your relationship with people. If you do not know how to use your tongue, you will lose many good relationships in this life. Many people have lost relationships to gossips. Many have lost relationships to backbiting. Many have lost relationships to lies. For instance, you are someone that will tell a lot of lies. You cannot keep very good friends for long. So again, not to say much about that, you see that if you are careless with the use of your tongue, you will not keep many good people around you. There are people that have lost meaningful relationships in their lives because they do not know how to control their speech when they are angry. So they say many crazy things because they are angry, and then they come back to say, sorry, you know, I was angry. Sorry will bring forgiveness. But sorry will not mean that you did not say what you said. Are you getting what I'm talking about here now? Sorry will not mean that you didn't say what you said. If you're angry and you call me an idiot and you apologize, I will forgive you. But it doesn't change the fact that you looked at me with my tie and called me an idiot. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? And that's why many people have lost relationships in their life, because they were not taught on how to talk. That's why there's a part of this teaching that will cover that. Are you what I'm saying? There's a part of this teaching that will handle how to relate to people, how to use your tongue well. Because if you're already seeing many marriages are headed for destruction because either the man or the woman, they don't know how to use their tongue. Proper use of tongue relationship, for instance, will tell you that there are times you don't say anything. And there are times you don't say what you want to say. But there is this untrained person under the sound of my voice now who says things like, I say what I want to say when I want to say them. I will give you a piece of my mind. When I say it, my mind will be free. That is why you don't have any meaningful relationship in your life. That's why you are single. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because you always give a piece of your mind. Small talking stage, someone is doing with you, giving a piece of your mind. You must learn to control your tongue. Well, I'll come into that later. Your tongue can ruin your relationships. It ruin your relationships. That's why you're in relationship with someone, your pastor, your friend, then you find out there are many unsettled scores. Because, you know, the thing is sometimes what prolongs quarrel sometimes is not the quarrel. Sometimes it is what was said in the course of the quarrel. That even after the quarrel is over, you are still thinking of what that person told you. Does it happen to you? Like the quarrel is over, you forgive him, but you still remember that this person called me a fool. You get the point? There are people that when they're having issues with people, it's like they're competing for who will say the most hurtful thing. And you know what they resort to? You know, there are insults that don't pain, that don't hurt. But there are insults that hurt. Do you understand the point now? If you look at Minister MJ now and tell her, see your big head. That shouldn't be a problem. You get what I'm saying now? I see your big head, no pain. Yes. But if someone actually has a big head, I tell you, look at your big head. You shouldn't have gone there. Now, people, when they have issues with you, they look for the problem. That is why you've not gotten admission in the past 6 years. It's because of this, your bad character. That will, even after the person, you say sorry, it stays for 2 years. So people, and some of you derive joy, say, I have bad mouth, so if I give it to you, that is why you're not yet where you're supposed to be. Especially in your relationships. I know the problem, I've kept teaching this, and I'm coming to that much later, about relationships. You actually do not know which relationship will bless you in the future. You actually, because you don't know people's future, you actually don't know who will be the next chief church of Nigeria. You actually don't know who will be the next CMD of that hospital you work in. You actually don't know. You don't know. And that is one big reality. Even in ministry now, you don't know which other person sitting around you will be your pastor, your next center you are going to. You don't know nothing. And that's why there is no relationship you should treat with levity.
You should not just be careless and say, I will say what I want to say. Who is that one? If it's only that one that will help me in my life, let me not get help. That may be the only person that may help in your life. Actually. Because there are doors only one person can open. And you better learn, no, there are doors that many people cannot open. There are doors that only one person can open. But that person is sitting down in that office as the commissioner for this. And then commissioner for transport. And you apply it. He's the only person that can open it. What's the letter just gets there?
Yeah, trash it.
He may not even be the commissioner. He may be the commissioner's secretary. And the secretary sometimes is more important than the commissioner. Because it is when the secretary passes your letter that it even get there. You just bring it and say, this boy, don't worry. Give me the letter. This one is not going nowhere. That's why you cannot just be loose with your speech. You can't be careless with what you say. And I'm going to come that much later in this series. There's a story actually about a governor. I won't call his name. A governor who graduated from a university as a student of that university. Of course, he wasn't very serious when he was a student. But then from a very rich home. So he was a very lousy student. The story has it. But then, a lecturer saw him one day and stood him up and washed him down. I said, you will never amount to anything. The way your life is going. You know that kind of thing. After talking to him, of course, eventually the boy graduated with a bad result. But you know, it's not all about results sometimes. If your leg is long, it's long. So eventually he became the governor. At the time, the lecturer was, I think, the HOD of the department. By the time he was now governor. And the lecturer did not even remember that particular incident. The HOD, he didn't remember it. So when he heard the guys become governor, he was so happy that someone from their alma mater, from their department, has become governor and sent for him. They were having a function. And he came and told him the story. He came, real life story, some of you that are close, you know what I'm saying. He came, stood up and told him, do you remember me? He said, no, I don't remember. He said, don't remember me. He said, I was a student. You stood there and told you will never make it. I am that student. And I've made it. I'm the governor. And I will never contribute nothing to this department. He said, it's open and left. I did nothing for that man, for anybody. Now, you actually don't know who is going where. Now, was it a bad thing to counsel the students? No. But what are the words you use? How dare you look at someone that got created and say, you don't amount to anything? Who gave you that right? Are you God? Don't ever tell me they cannot amount to anything, no. It's not by result, oh. The last student in your class may employ you tomorrow. It's not by result. It's all following me this morning. So, proper use of your tongue can mess with your relationships. And eventually mess with your life. Number three. Why must we matter the use of our tongues? Because the way you use your tongue will affect your walk with God. It will have an impact on your walk with God. Your walk with God. Hallelujah. You know, there are many ways this can happen. One, because you can even sin by the use of your words. If you are careless with the way you use your tongue, you will commit sin. Sins like lying. Sin like gossip. The Bible tells us, Matthew 15:11, give me a little translation, Matthew 15:11, NLT, it tells you your words can defile your body. Amen. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. So what you say can defile your entire body. And so you notice your words can affect your walk with God. Because by the time you begin to lie and commit sin, it already affects your walk with God. I get the point? And I've taught many times that your words will affect your spiritual flow. You see, if you want to be somebody that walks mightily in the power of God, you must know how not to use your words carelessly. I say it again, if you are going to walk mightily in the power of God, see, everything I'm saying, I'm going to come to them later. I'm just trying to give you a rough surface introduction. Amen? If you are someone that is going to walk mightily in the power of God, you must learn how to use your tongue and how not to use your tongue, actually. Before Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead in John 11, he kept saying, this sickness is not unto death. He is not dead. He's sleeping. Lazarus is dead. We go to wake him up. He kept that. It was that constant use of the tongue that eventually produced a miracle when they got Lazarus' tomb. You cannot be careless with your tongue and expect to begin to see results in your life. Now, you must know what to say and what not to say. I've given this example many times. If there's someone who wants to go and do a miracle crusade, don't spend the previous 1 hour quarreling and exchanging blows with people with your tongue. Your words will not carry so much weight. I feel what I'm saying now. It won't carry so much weight. And let me even say this to you. An example I always give is lying. If you always tell lies, your heart is learning not to believe the things you say. And so, because you've taught your heart not to believe the things you say, when you are speaking to a sick person, get up and walk. Your heart does not even believe what you are saying. And it takes your heart and your tongue to be in agreement to produce a miracle. So, because you've told a lot of lies, your heart does not even believe the things you say eventually. But there are people that lie. They lie so much that they begin to believe the lie they tell. Like, they sit down and cook up stories and believe the story. When they're telling the story, they're even feeling it as they're telling it, but it's a lie. You know the problem with that? Your heart has learned to believe lies. So any day you are standing for a sick person and you're saying, you sick person, I command you, rise up and walk. Your heart just believes that we are still lying as usual. And I've seen this affect a lot of people. You can't be careless with the use of your tongue and expect to flow mightily in the power of God. No. It will hinder your flow. We just read the book of James 3 now. James said, how is it that it's from the same place? That how do you expect sweet and bitter to come from the same place? How do you expect the same tree to produce good fruit and bad fruit? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Are you following what I'm talking about now? It doesn't work like that. So how do you expect the same tongue that should raise the dead to also be the same tongue that will tell someone, thunder fire you? And you constantly say, thunder fire you? And they expect that you're going to come raise the dead, it's going to work. The same you that keeps saying, man, this cancer here, if you hold anybody here, the person, nobody survives it. This cancer, nobody, you see this particular cancer, forget it. It has no cure. You've been saying that all the time. And then they bring a cancer patient to you. And you expect that somehow you're going to pray and it's going to work. When you've used your mouth to say, nobody survives this cancer. I know what I'm talking about now. Don't like pray, somersault and roll on the floor. Nothing is going to happen. What is hindering that stuff? Words you've spoken. Are you following me, friends? So your words can affect your flow in the supernatural. A lot. A lot. For instance, if I someone who says a lot of vain things, a lot of empty words, you will find it difficult to stay long in prophecy. You hear what I say now? Like all this prophesy. If you cannot stand easily and prophesy non-stop for 5 minutes, 7 minutes, if you're someone who in your daily conversation you have a lot of crazy words you say, because eventually when you come to prophesy, it is actually the word of God that has filled your heart that will pour forth. That's why Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So when the word of God is so much in your heart, that's what will be pouring out as you're prophesying. But if you tell a lot of comedy, crack a lot of rubbish jokes, say anything that comes to your mind, use derogatory words and all of that. Now, when you want to prophesy, you can't possibly prophesy and you're using those words. So, words will fail you at that point. Because all the words that are in your system are not aligned with what God actually wants to say. You see what I'm talking about here now? And so, your words can affect your spiritual flow. Mightily. Amen. That's why you notice that most of the people you know that flow mightily in the power of God, when they have crusades or what have you, you see them speaking the word. Speaking the word. Speaking the word. Before I slept last night, I slept around 3, I was still doing the same thing. I was just speaking the word. I'm anointed to stand and stand in the office of my call. I'm anointed to stand fully. The hand of God is upon me. I kept, even when I woke up this morning, as I was preparing for church, occasionally I still voice those words. I'm anointed to stand. Now, we keep statistics, I say. You get the point? I everything you just lend your voice to, and you expect that somehow words are going to start beginning to flow seriously. That's why we teach people that are married to ministers to mind the things you bring up to discuss with your husband or your wife who is going to minister just before ministration. Because if the person just begins to, most times he goes to the stage, he'll be shooting and the bullet is not hitting anything. Because those words don't carry so much weight. He has wasted his energy fighting with you and quarreling with you. Are you following me this morning? Is someone getting blessed? So your words can affect your relationship with God in that it affects your flow in spiritual things. I can also tell you, your words is how you put your faith to work. That's one reason why it will affect your work with God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 tells us, we have in the same spirit of faith, believe, therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith, believe, therefore we speak. So the spirit of faith speaks. The spirit of faith speaks. So if you don't know how to use your tongue, you cannot have anything called faith work for you. Amen. Because faith is never silent. Faith is never silent. And faith does not speak the wrong words. Once there are negative confessions or there is silence, faith will fail. Once there are negative confessions or silence, faith will fail. And so you notice in your walk with God, you want to be seeing supernatural results with faith. Mind what you say. Are you following me? Mind what you say. Supernatural results with faith. Mind what you say. You want to see that your faith can move mountains. Mind the things that come out from your mouth. Two things you can't associate with faith. One is silence. Secondly, inactivity. If I add a third one, negative confessions. Faith will not work once these things are happening. Once you're just quiet, you don't know how to use your tongue, or you're saying all the wrong things, you will never see results. Amen. And so, we must master how to use our tongue. In this series, I'm going to share a few things with you. I'm going to teach you, for instance, how to use your tongue in your own personal life. I'm going to show you how to use your tongue in your relationship with God. Everything I just mentioned, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to also show you how to use your words in your relationship with people. And we have like 5 or 6 sessions for this class. Is that okay? How to use your words. Some of you will see miracles break out to your life. You will find order come back to your life. And you'll find results. And some of you actually see why things have not been working. So, just to close today, let me just share one thing with you. Just to close today. How to use your tongue, for instance, in your personal life. Let me start talking about that. One of the major things you use your tongue to do in your own personal life is you must learn to use your tongue to speak your realities in Christ. But I just want to show you the proper use of tongues, of your tongue. You must use your tongue to speak your realities in Christ. You do not lend your tongue, for instance, to speak the opposites or to counter what God has done for you in Christ. I'll give you an example. Philemon verse 6 tells us that the communication of your faith be made effectual by, watch this, by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of your faith are made effectual by the acknowledging. Watch. There are good things in you in Christ Jesus. They're already in you. But then, they will become more effectual when you acknowledge them. What it means, for instance, God has forgiven you. But you begin to reap the benefits and enjoy the consequence of that forgiveness when you acknowledge that you have been forgiven. Are you know what I'm saying? God has given you his authority. You will begin to reap the consequence of that authority when you acknowledge that you have received it. What does that mean? If you don't acknowledge what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, you will possibly not enjoy what God has done, even though he has done it.
And one of the ways you acknowledge what God has done for you in Christ is to say it. Are you following me this morning? To say it. 1 John 2 verse 12. Put it up on the screen quickly. Let's just run. 1 John 2 verse 12. I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So one of the first things we'll find, for instance, in Christ Jesus, is that our sins are forgiven. So what do you do with your tongue? You must use your tongue to announce your forgiveness in Christ. You must use your tongue to announce and affirm your forgiveness in Christ. If you're not doing that, you're not using your tongue for the right reasons. Are you following me? 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, For God made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Say amen, somebody. So it means we are righteous in Christ Jesus. You must use your tongue to affirm that. In other words, when you hear I'm righteous in Christ, you don't just say yeah, you also say I'm righteous in Christ. And that's what I was teaching you guys during 10 days of light. When somebody says, are you blessed? Don't say yes, I'm blessed. Are you righteous? Don't say yes. I'm righteous. Yes is what? You're righteous. You must use your tongue to affirm what God has done for you in Christ. And that's one major way you use your tongue. That's the proper use of the tongue. Use it to affirm your realities in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 6 tells us, oh glory to God, that he has made us accepted in the beloved. So, a believer should say things like, I'm accepted by God. I'm loved of God. So the love of God isn't just something you should know in your heart. You must say it. Don't say, whether I say it or not, is it not there? No, sir. I'm going to show you something. You must use your tongue to voice out your realities in Christ. You must. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, give me verse 10 and verse 11. I need the verse that said, for both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are the same, for which cause not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 10, give me that verse. Glory to God. You're wasting time. Come on. For both him that sanctified, give me verse 10, give me verse 10. Then I can go from there. Now, next verse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Both that are sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. To call them brethren. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It seems you've not found it. Blessed be God. I say, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he said, both he that sanctified, that's talking about Jesus is the sanctifier. He said, they that are sanctified, that tells you that the believer in Christ is sanctified. So you must lend your voice to say things like, I am sanctified. Things like, I am holy. The church have been taught to say who they are not. And that's one reason why we're not having a very victorious Christian life. We've been taught to say crazy things. That's why I keep saying, you don't say things like, I'm a sinner. We all are sinners. Don't talk like that. Now, when people around you say we all are sinners, exempt yourself. We all are not sinners. That's not a statement of humility. That's a statement of doubt. That's a statement of unbelief. We all are not sinners. The man in Christ is not a sinner. And that's why people say, but sir, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You can't still talk like that. You can't talk like that. You are either a sinner or you are saved by grace. Don't try to sound humble. I keep using this example. Just like you look at Pastor Dave now and say, he's only a single man who is married. You are either single or you are married. You can't say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. These are
two different states. You are either in one or you are in the other one. You are saved by grace. You are holy, you are sanctified. You must say it. That's one major way to use your tongue. That's one major way to use your tongue. I'm sanctified. I'm holy. These are things you must say. You must use your tongue to affirm those things. Things like your authority in Christ. Things like your authority in Christ. Luke 10 tells us, verse 17, that he has given us power to trample upon snakes and scorpions and overall the power of the enemy, and none of them shall hold us. So learn to say, I have power. Do not wait until there is a sick person to heal. Always say about yourself, I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out devils. If I meet any devil, I'm going to cast him out. He says, are you not bragging? No, I'm not bragging. It is only bragging if it is not true. Paul said, let him that boast, boast in the Lord. How do you boast in the Lord? You boast in what he has made you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. So when you hear me say this, like, I can rest the dead. They say, okay, no, be by talk. It's not by talk. I'm saying what God has made me. He has given me his power. He has given me his power. He told me, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Talking about him. He now looked at me and said, go therefore. In other words, the authority he has is my authority. So I go forth in that authority. So I'm not empty actually. You must learn to affirm your reality. It's one of the major ways to use your tongue. You want to see a victorious Christian life. Learn how to use your tongue to affirm your realities in Christ. Learn how to use your tongue to affirm. Now, all the time, both in your talking session and in your conversation, there are things you can never hear me say in my conversation. You can't hear me say that. I know who God has made me. And I say it throughout. When I'm conversing with you, I'm playing with you, I'm joking with you, I'm a blessed man. Whether we are joking or we are laughing, I'm a blessed man. Whether I'm happy or I'm sad, my sins are forgiven. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. Whether I am happy or I'm sad, I have the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I say it all the time. I'm never without joy. I'm never without peace. Every time you will hear me say that, it's who God has made me. I'm not bragging. I'm stating the obvious. And I'm not lying either. I'm only lying if it is not true. Oh, but it is true. Let all men be liars. Let God be the only true God. I'm stating the facts. I have the joy of the Holy Ghost. I have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you have the joy of the Holy Ghost? Glory to God. You must learn to use your tongue. Now, sit for a moment. Let me see if I can close in 5 minutes. One reason why you do this is this. Remember, these things are who you are in Christ. Now, saying them or not saying them will not change the fact that you have them once you're a believer. Now, that is a fact. Established. But listen, saying them often will make you, for instance, become more aware of the fact that they are there. You know the reason why many people do not walk in who God has made them is because occasionally you forget. Do you forget yourself sometimes? How many of you have forgotten who you are in Christ at some moment? It's when you finish throwing the punch or speak or saying thunder fire you that you remember I'm a love being. You know why it's like that? You have not actually learned your voice to say that a lot. If you learn your voice to say who you are and say who you are and say who you are, now it's not going to make you become more of that thing. But first, it's going to make you more aware. And you know what that awareness brings? It brings revelation. And many of you think revelation is, if I let me use the simple word for revelation, it makes anything, let me give an example. If they teach you anything in class and you understand it, and you go begin to teach another person that same thing, you tend to understand it the more. Because anything you keep saying, you know it more. Now, how many of you practice this? When I was in secondary school, I did this a lot. Sometimes, when they are done teaching us in class, you get an imaginary board and gather your imaginary students and you are teaching them in your house. Who does that? You didn't do it at all? Let me show you if you ever did that. Even tonight, I still do it all. Give me this message now. I preach it to myself this morning. Actually, when I finished, I was just walking around. Because how life is ordained to function, anything you are saying, you are getting more understanding of that thing. So when you keep saying things like, my sins are forgiven, and you make it a daily, regular confession, your revelation of that forgiveness deepens. I get what I'm saying now. That's why, again, Philemon verse 6, that the communication of your faith be made effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Part of those good things, for instance, is forgiveness. As you keep acknowledging it with your mouth, the communication of your faith becomes effectual in that area. One of those good things, for instance, is the fact that you're a love being. God has made you a love being. So all this, I can never forgive him. That's actually what you will have. But I wish somebody can begin to say, Romans 5 verse 5 tells me that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I walk in forgiveness. 1 John tells me that as he is, so am I in this world. The way he is forgiving, that's how I'm a forgiving person. He said that all the time. Galatians 5 tells me that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It means that love is working inside of me. Therefore, I walk in love and I forgive everyone. Hallelujah. You need to keep saying that. Now, you must say them every day. Both your talking sessions and your regular conversation. Don't let your regular conversations negate these things I'm saying. So, you just finish confessing, I'm a love being. And then somebody annoys you, say, I will show you the other side of me. No, sir. That if you are ever going to show someone the other side of you, show him the love part of you. That should be the other side. Because you should not have two sides. You're not a hypocrite, are you? Are you a hypocrite? So any side you show should be the same thing. Because with God, there is no shadow of turning. God is consistent. Learn to say those things. I'm never depressed. I'm not wishing myself well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So I have joy. Peace, I have peace. I have never been depressed. I can never be depressed. It doesn't mean depression will not come knocking, but I won't take it. That's who God has made me. Now, you say that and put it in your mouth every time, every day. That's why every solid Christian must have confessions they make regularly. Number two, every solid church must have confessions they make regularly. For instance, the way we close service here, it's a regular confession we make every day we come here. It's deliberate. It's not just talk. That's why we do it all the time. When we take offering, there's a confession we make all the time. Every solid church must have things they say together all the time. God gave Aaron and his sons what to speak over Israel every day they meet. That's Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he give you his peace. His shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Now that's what Aaron says over the Israelites every time they gather. Every solid church must have such things. Every solid Christian must have such things. Learn to say of yourself, there is forgiveness working in me. Learn to say of yourself, my sins are forgiven. Learn to say of yourself, I have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Learn to say of yourself, peace is working in me. Learn to say of yourself, I'm righteous in Christ. Learn to say what God has said concerning you. And when you say that, it makes you more aware and it brings revelation. Revelation will bring conviction. It will settle in your hand. What is in your head as information
goes into your heart as revelation, as you keep saying it. I said that again. What is in your head as information gets to your heart as revelation when you keep saying it. That's why many of you have come to this church and you've heard all these sweet, sweet things we used to teach. But somehow you still don't believe it. Oh, you believe it, Sha. But anybody can talk you out of it. When you go home, you feel different. When you come to church, you feel different. I'm telling you what to do. Use your tongue. You go home, you come to church, you're feeling so forgiven. You go home, you're feeling so condemned. You come to church, you're feeling so alive, feeling like, oh God, I mean, God is living in me. You wake up on Wednesday, you're feeling like, am I even sure I'm born again? Use your tongue. If you use your tongue and you say the things you should say often, that thing that you've been hearing in church will settle in your heart. Amen. And one last thing. When you keep saying the things that God has said concerning things God has done for you in Christ, you receive, as you're saying it, more ability to walk in them. Now, I didn't say you will receive more of them. For instance, if you keep saying things like, I'm righteous, you receive much more ability to walk as a righteous man. If you keep saying, I have joy of the Holy Ghost, give me Joshua 1 verse 8. Let me close with that. Joshua 1 verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, many people read this place. I don't know for others, but when I was growing up, I used to think it is, this book of the law shall not depart out of your heart. Until one that was studying, God said, no, look at it again. It is out of thy mouth. But I used to think it's out of your heart because he said, thou shalt meditate upon therein day and night. And you find that meditation starts from the heart, but meditation ends in the tongue. That's how it was. Meditation ends starts from the heart. Meditation is to start thinking about something so deeply, so much so that you begin to voice it out. So Joshua is saying, or God is telling Joshua, don't let this book depart from your mouth. He said, meditate on it day and night. Now see the last part. That thou mayest observe to do all that it is in therein. So how will Joshua be able to do everything in the book of the law? It shall not depart from his mouth. If he keeps it in his mouth long enough, he will be able to do them. If he keeps it in his mouth long enough. So if you keep saying, my sins are forgiven, you begin to walk in that reality. If you keep saying, I'm a love being, it will not be long. You begin to love people easily. If you keep saying, let me tell you, there are some things that when I started saying it to myself, I was nothing close to it. I was nothing close to it. Some of you are hearing me this morning. Your problem is that temperamentally, maybe you're a sanguine or sanguine, whichever you pronounce it. I'm a sanguine. I talk too much. I don't know how this will help me. I tell you what to do. As you go home, start saying about yourself, I have self-control. I have the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. I'm not a loose talker. Sir, but it's not true. But it is actually true. Because that's who God has made you. So you keep saying that. The more you say that, the more your nature agrees. Sir, I have this anger. I can get easily angry. I'm bitter. Listen. Start saying about yourself, I walk in love. That's who God has made me. Say it again and again for 3 months, for 1 year, all the days of your life. Gradually it becomes easier. Some of the things you hear me voice out on stage some years ago, was not actually true about me then. At least in my action. When I began to say a couple of years now, things like, you know what? I forgive anybody that hurts me. It wasn't really very true about me. That's a couple of years back, many years back now. But then it wasn't really true. But I read it in God's word. I read it of looking yours a new kind of love. I was a final year. And thank God I read that book. Because before then, there's been I've suffered a lot of hurts, a lot of hate, a lot of betrayals. I remember one day I was with that book. I was sitting inside a vehicle. I was reading it. And the page, I can't forget that the page I was reading that day was the page that said that this new kind of love has never been to a law court. I can't forget. He said this new kind of love has never had a divorce. And here was I standing in that bus with one of the ladies that Satan, you know the Bible says that I will be killed an unreasonable man. of the ladies that Satan actually, you know, of course, not Satan, she herself was a victim. She was deceived. People said a lot of crazy things about me, and she agreed with it and was kind of spread those things. I think someone that actually came very close to me, God actually told her to come, that I was going to make an investment in her life in the next 1 year. And she came close a few times, two times, and disappeared because she heard a few things. So I was actually very angry. And here was the lady in the same vehicle with me. And under my breath, I kept saying, this is true about me. I walk in love. And you know what happened? I got where I was going to, and I stopped and came down. Suddenly, she came down with me. I said, is this where I'm going to? She said, no. Say, God has been dealing with me. I want to say, actually, I'm sorry. I said, how are you sure what you said about me is not true? She told me, sir, the same person that told me about you has told other people things about me that is not true. So I just know your own is a lie. And it wouldn't have been easy to let go of that matter. But God's already dealing with me. So it wasn't actually very true of me. From that, I kept saying, I told her that I forgive you. I forgive you totally. I forgive you. I have nothing in my heart against you. But I just kept that in my mouth and I kept saying it. I kept saying it. I kept saying it. I walk in love. I don't hold anything against anybody. I don't walk in bitterness. This is what God has said concerning me. No matter what you do to me, I can forgive. There is nothing anybody does to me that is too big for me to forgive. It's in my mouth saying that. Today is my reality. I can tell you, there is nothing you do. Nothing you do. So the things you say that God has done for you in Christ, it becomes easy to walk in them. I said, when that happens, he said, thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. You want to see your life. For instance, some of you that have issue with impatience. Say, I'm not patient. Like that one was me too. I think I used to be the most impatient human being on earth. I actually told someone in my days of ignorance, openly, I told the person, I don't know why patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. I told the person. I said, why do people get patient? And some of you still feel that way. Let's move sharp, sharp. But then I read that again. You can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. So I started to say about myself, I'm a patient person. And all men, you need patience in your life to deal with women. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I think God put it there for men. You need patience in your life to do with women. Do you understand? And it manifests in so many ways. How many of you grew up seeing your dad blow the horn? When you get set for church in the morning, everybody stayed in the car. I am coming, oh, PB! You need patience to deal with women. Everyone needs patience in their life. Your own wife might not be a makeup person. But sometimes people, husband, wives can be overbearing. Sometimes you just have to be patient with them. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. And you have it. So what do you do? Start saying it. Everything God said about you, everything that is in the fruit of the Spirit that you are not seeing yet in your life, put it to your tongue. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. I walk in love. My sins are forgiven. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm holy. I have the authority of Jesus. I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I can cast out devils. God's word is working in me. Whatever is true of Jesus is true of me. Say it again. So whatever is true of Jesus is true of me. As he is, so am I in this world. Say, as he is, so I am in this world. So you notice two things. Have your talking sessions. Not just in church. How long have you started practicing this and I've been teaching for a very long time? You have talking sessions at home. Have your talking sessions. Every day, start talking. Then in your conversations, as you are gisting with people, there are things, if you ever find yourself say the opposite, return. Revert immediately. Have the right things on your lips. I'm a blessed person. Don't say things like, I have anger issues. You don't have anger issues. No one in Christ has anger issues.
no one in Christ is bitter. And that is not we denying reality. That is we affirming the reality of who we are in Christ. Now, in your natural mind, your mind, on your body, you might even see some of these anger things show up. But let's start from somewhere. Agree that what God said is true of you is true first. Now, begin to say it. You will see a change. And you begin to say that. And that's why also I say this all the time. This is why also the songs you sing must reflect this thing. So you don't open your mouth and begin to sing all the rubbish that comes to your mind. Are you what I'm saying now? Are you following what I'm saying? You know, sometimes I look at ladies and I see ladies. I don't know when I'm talking to ladies this morning. I see ladies sometimes and I wonder, don't you guys even have respect for yourself? A guy goes to the studio to do a song, and in his song, all he's saying is just singing any crazy thing about women. Bitches. Sings about their body, sings about their buttocks, sings about a lot of derogatory things. Now, and does a music video, and ladies are in the video dancing. And ladies are singing. There are things you don't sing. They're insulting you, saying a lot of crazy things about you. Are you saying it too? Huh? A woman goes to sing and says, I know come this life to suffer if I follow politician. She's openly telling you that she's into wrongs. And you, this Christian girl, is singing into your mouth and dancing. And after you wonder where strange appetites are coming from. You've been saying so much that you shouldn't say. It's time to say who you are in Christ now. Hallelujah. Can we do an exercise? Get a partner. You guys should take turns. You're going to tell that person three significant things that God said or God has made you in Christ. And the person will tell you three things too. And you're going to, don't just say the person like, you're going to say it confidently. Look at the person and say, I am righteous. I am forgiven. The love of God is shed abroad. To speak with confidence out to the person, turn by turn, three. Tell the person. Say, Mr. I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ. What God said of me is true. And I affirm it. I affirm it. I affirm it. I affirm it. Glory! Hallelujah. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.